For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
How you doing today? Here we go. Let's get this party started. I know the countdown says 7 minutes and 50 some odd seconds, but let's not wait any longer. Let's get in. Let's jump in. How's everyone doing today? Hope you're having a great day. Hope you're having a great Monday. It is May the 2nd, 2022, and we're going to be talking about Elon Musk's SpaceX Starbase today. And we're hoping all the things will go through. And the FAA's environmental assessment will be handled within the next month, maybe. Let's see, though, because you never know, because the FAA is they're going to probably delay it like 7 or 8 different times. You never know. It could happen, you know, sometime in the next month, or it could happen in the next year. Who knows with the FAA? But we did get one step closer, and I'll talk about that in just a second. Debs, what's up? Egress, your space pants. Put on your space pants, everybody. This is our little icon here. We're working on new icons too for all the other people that have become members of the channel. So working on new emotes, new icons, things like that, so we can give you guys a little something for helping out. And also there's a few other things too for members that we're working on that are just going to be like members only content. That's just going to be exclusive to members. So, if you want to just become a member and help out, it helps out with basically bills to get down to Starbase, bills to do trips to Florida, bills for stuff like gas money, basically gas money to get anywhere, because I love to be on the road and I love to travel and I love to shoot video and photos of launches and all that stuff. So, here we go. Let's talk about this environmental assessment a little bit today. Elon and SpaceX have been going through a lot of trouble with the FAA. There's 18,000 pages of comments that people have submitted to the FAA. So Elon and Starbase can get approval for the environmental assessment. Basically, you have to look into Boca Chica, where Starbase is, and Elon wants to launch from there, wants to add another launch facility, another tower there, and a bunch of other stuff too, parking lots and things like that. And, the FAA has to approve all this stuff because there's environmental impacts for anything you will ever do as far as building. So if you're going to build a house, someplace, or if you're going to put in a new driveway, you're going to put in a new garage, something like that, then there's going to be an environmental impact no matter what you do, right? So it could be as small as that, or adding a fence to your property. It seems small, right? So adding a little white picket fence around your house, it seems like a small thing, but those things do impact the environment. Could it impact, whoa, Debs, thanks for the super chat. Appreciate that. I saw that just come up on the screen. So when you get anything done to your property, including things like SpaceX, they have gigantic rockets. I'm about 25 miles away from there. I go down there all the time. I see these giant rockets. I see them building stuff, and the amount of trucks that go in and out of that place is ridiculous every day. It's a construction site. Think of it like a port, right? So think of it as like a port for ships, and there's always trucks coming in and out, delivery trucks, etc. And they're always coming in and out. And Andre, holy cow, Wow. Thank you so much, Andre. Appreciate that. That's going to be a lot of gas money to get to the launches. How you doing, man? To launches and to start base back and forth. So thank you, Debs and Andre, for your help. I really do appreciate it. It means a lot. I can't give you 20 rockets. That's kind of an absurd amount of rocket launches for these starships. But I usually do per dollar donated. I usually give you a starship per dollar. So I thank you for that, but I can't give you 20 starships. That's just a ridiculous amount of starships. So thank you. Thank you so much, Andre. I really do appreciate it. Hope you're doing great. And I gotta cut you off though. Unfortunately, here we go. We'll get one more landing and then we'll cut you off. So it's fun to do these. And then like all of a sudden a rocket appears, you know, like I'm looking at my monitors over here and I'm like, okay, I just got a super chat and things just go crazy. Right. So, you know, there's tons of construction going on down there. There's things happening, you know, all the time, day and night. There's new people coming into the area. There's new trucks coming into the area from outside the area. You know, they could be from hundreds of miles away. And the fact that all that stuff comes into the area, but also they have to build it up because more and more construction is going on down there. And they want to be able to launch starships at a cadence where it's two or three a week. Right. And that is ridiculous. You know, like that's a crazy amount of launches per week. They want to have two launch towers. There's all sorts of infrastructure that they have to build down there. They're going to build a little pond in order to make this all work. That's going to probably feed into the noise suppression system at some point. And, you know, they have to get the environmental approval from the FAA. And Jeff Francis, thank you so much for another super chat. Wow. Thanks, guys. I really do appreciate it. It means the world to me that you guys are helping support the channel and helping support the show. So thank you so much for that, Jeff. That's amazing. Now, I'm going to give you a couple more of these, and then we'll move on to the next thing, which is this email that I got the other day. You know, this kind of we had to talk about this the other day, but we didn't really go into it too much. It was kind of a short thing after a 9-hour stream. So I was kind of exhausted and I was like, oh, it's over. Thank God. Not thank God the stream's over, but thank God we have the information, you know, that we have now. So there we go. One more landing, Jeff. And there you go. So I want to talk about a little more and get your input on it and, just have a discussion about it, because I think there's a lot of discussion that can be had about these things and, you know, when the time frame is going to happen and things like that. So the FAA sent me an email the other day when they did all the things for Starbase. When they sent out all the emails for Starbase, the FAA is updating the release date for SpaceX Starship Super Heavy Final Programmatic Environmental Assessment, the PEA, on the Federal Infrastructure Permitting Dashboard, and the project website. The FAA plans to issue the final PEA on May 31st. So basically, so if there's anything that can be damaged by Starbase's activities, by SpaceX's activities at Starbase, Boca Chica, they have to look into this, every little thing. So they had 18,000 comments. Okay. And I would love somebody to do the math. So many people have done different math, right? Different math. Everybody has different math for this. They're like, a person sits down and they can read 5 of these per day and do comments. And I'm like, okay, cool. And then they do all the math and they figure out that, okay, that would only take 20 days or, you know, whatever the math is. So you think, okay, so that would only take 20 days, but there's also the other factors to it as well. So I mentioned a few of these things on Twitter the other day, you know, and I made a poll on Twitter and it was pretty sort of one way or the other. Like either you're like, well, just give them a little bit more time. They're not ready anyway. Or the FAA is a corrupt organization, you know, and they go into some detail about that and how with X amount of employees, they could have got this done in 2 weeks or whatever. And I have to remind people that people are people as well. Math is right there. So let's see. Okay, NC Davis. If they have 10 full-time employees, I think they can easily average one page every 15 minutes per person. 40 pages per hour, 40 hours a week, 11.25 weeks is 18,000 pages. So it would have only taken them around, let's just say 3 months to get this done, to read all those pages and get all that stuff done. So 10 full-time employees, but do those, I have to kind of step back a little bit from that. The 10 full-time employees, are they only doing that? And this is the thing that got a lot of people on Twitter. It's like, are they only doing that part of it? Right. So are they looking only at these pages, the 18,000 pages, and that's it? Or do they have weird meetings? You know, does your boss come over to your desk, tap you on the shoulder and be like, hey man, how's it going? There goes 10 minutes of your life. There goes 10 minutes of this thing. And also they have to write, you know, they have to write a response to every one of these. So if that includes the response, but also other meetings that happen, you have your lunch break, you have, the rando that always comes over to your desk.
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Askins like, hey, buddy, what's going on, brother? You know, and talks to you. You don't want him to, but he's there anyway. You know, it's that guy that, like, he's cool, dude. And he's like, he's just trying to, you know, have a good day. But you're really, you know, like, you want to work on this stuff, but he's not allowing you to because he's talking to you. So the, like, all those things have to be factored in as well. So if it is 10 full-time employees, 15 minutes per page, and it's about 18,000 pages, 11.25 hours. So let's, or 25 weeks. That's 3-ish months. So it's the other stuff that goes along with it too. So it could be 4 months, you know, just to get all this stuff done. Let's just like kind of, if there's other things to do, like you might have to pick up your kid from daycare. Somebody might get sick. Somebody might be really slow too, you know? There's so many other factors that go into it as well. And plus there's inter-office communications, from the FAA with the other areas here. So the FAA doesn't work alone with this. You know, they have, Department of Commerce, National Oceanic Atmospheric Administration, the NOAA, Department of Commerce, NOAA, Department of Interior, Fish and Wildlife Service. So they don't work just alone. So they have to talk to these other agencies within the government. And anybody that sent an email to anybody in the government and is expected a response within any amount of reasonable time knows how horrible that is. Anything you want done, anything you need done, if you've ever worked with a government agency at all, I've contracted with government agencies through my work. Like, I'm a coder, so I've worked with government agencies, we worked on their websites and things, and the amount of time it takes for them to just email me back, like, hey, would you like this to be done? You know, would you like this or this? I give them a really quick, like, would you like A or B? And then, you know, usually in a fast-paced web development environment, everybody's working together. Everyone's on Slack. Everyone's like doing all their things together at the same time. It happens almost instantly, right? Hey, do you want A or B? And then somebody would look at it and be like, oh, A, real quick. You have to email somebody in the government. You can't just Slack them. You know, it doesn't work like that. So those people working together could take, you know, you send them an email and say, hey, is this going to work? Hey, could you take a look at this one? Because I'm not sure about this one. You know, those things could take extra months, you know, an extra month just for the communication. I don't know. So this stuff that's happening, you know, if they were robots and they could just sit down and do the thing, and just go through it, that would be the perfect scenario. But it's always like, hey, somebody just got sick, or somebody's got food poisoning, or, my dog needs to go to the dog babysitter or whatever. So I have to leave a little bit early today or whatever it is, there's all the other human factors involved too. And then I'm not giving them excuses. I'm just saying like, that's just how it is. And that's unfortunate for us who really want SpaceX to launch a Starship. Right. But the good thing is they got one more thing done. Right. So all this stuff, like, let's just look down here. This is a graph down here that shows what has been completed and what needs to be completed. Permitting timetable right here. And I'm sure some of you have seen this. Most of you probably have. Permitting timetable below displays data as reported by agencies. Dates for environmental review and permitting processes, actions that are in paused or planned status are subject to change, are not indicative of project's final schedule. And I like this too. That are in pause or planned status are subject to change and are not indicative of the project's final schedule. So we have to say that. It's like a disclaimer. For information about extension, select an action from the timetable below, blah, blah, blah. Right? So all these things, these ones have been done. The Magnuson-Stevens Fishery Conservation and Management Act, Section 305, Essential Fish Habitat Consultation is done. Endangered Species Act consultation is done. Okay, so that one's done. The Endangered Species Consultation Act, complete. Right, we don't know the results of it. It could be a no-go. These things could be a no-go. It doesn't mean the complete doesn't mean it's good. It just means that it's that paperwork has been completed. So does that mean that it's a go from the Endangered Species Act consultation, NOAA, NMFS? We don't know. We won't know until they release it. And they're supposed to release this next 5:30, sorry, the beginning of next month. We'll get the information from them end of this month, beginning of next month. So this all ends at 5:30, 2022. But they did complete the other day, 4:21. Should have done 4:20. That would have been sick, dude. The Endangered Species Act's consultation, DOI-FWS. So Endangered Species Act, there's endangered turtles down there. There's endangered bird species. There's probably other endangered things down there that I'm not aware of because the place is massive and it's swampy and it's hot. And it's just like, there's so much stuff going on. There's so many birds. Like I see hundreds of birds when I go down there and I see all sorts of wildlife all the time. And if you go out by the beach, you'll see gulls and all sorts of things, and some turtles and stuff sometimes, but there are endangered turtles that go there to nest. And I think they only go there to nest one other place. So it's there in one other place. So SpaceX can work with the FAA and the Endangered Species. What are they called? Like this, the NOAA, et cetera. If they can work with them to kind of mitigate that, like say if they find out that the turtles are coming into nest, don't launch anything, don't do any major things, whether it's testing, cryo tests, pressure tests, static fires, any launches. They don't want to do that. They don't want to move any like heavy machinery down by the beach because it happens at Boca Chica and it also happens South Padre Island. So they nest at those two places somewhere in between. They could find a different spot. And then if they could work with the Fish and Wildlife organization, that they could possibly mitigate that. That could be a mitigation strategy for SpaceX. So once this all goes through, whether it's good or bad, SpaceX will also again start working with they'll work with the FAA and all of these other agencies to make sure that they stay on task with these things, because it's not going to be cut and dry. It's not going to be everything's complete. SpaceX gets to build whatever they want to, whenever they want to. They have a plan. They have to stick with this plan. And these people are going to oversee kind of that they're sticking to the plan. So in the future, SpaceX will be working on, just getting the Starbase facility bigger and better, of course. But first and foremost, they have to launch these things. They have to launch, have to do an orbital launch of Starship. And that is a big, big task right there. And SpaceX has a ton of a ton of work to do still before. SpaceX still has a bunch of work to do too. So there's a ton of work for Starbase employees, people down at Boca Chica, to get boosters ready, to get starships ready, to get stage zero ready. That's one of the major things that SpaceX has been doing recently, is working on stage zero. They had a water deluge test the other night. Basically floods the launch stage zero area with water. So when a starship launches, the launch noise from the engines doesn't affect the surrounding area. So that's one thing that this whole environmental permitting process is for as well, is that they have to make sure that none of that water interacts with the environment in a bad way. So SpaceX will be working with them to get that done, to get to work on that. And, you know, workers are there day and night, 24/7, all the time. So the vehicles coming in, the vehicles going out, all that stuff really does impact the environment down there. Not in a bad way, so to speak, but in a way that, we're waiting for them to kind of figure it all out. Passing Wind, your live video is gone and we're seeing clips. Yes, I know. I posted that up. That's supposed to be like that. I know I'm not supposed to be on there. So, let's take a second. I'm going to take a second and take a look through the chat real quick so we can talk about these things. So let me add myself back in here too. So let's see here. We got Andre, everyone's doing great. Thank you, man. I really do appreciate you stopping by and hanging out. It means a lot to you stopping by again. Let me put myself down here in the corner. Put baby in the corner over here. There we go. Hey, there we go. I'm hanging out by this booster. Yeah, so everything is good. If you have 10 full-time employees, okay, so you did that. Math is right there. Screen share your calculator. Oh yeah, I didn't do that. I was totally bad at that. One comment could be a full line or a whole essay. Right, Debs, exactly. That's part of the thing, right? So these comments that go into the FAA, that have been submitted to the FAA, the fact that it could literally be like a small line. It could just be something really, really easy, really, really quick. And it could also be something really massive. It could be a whole front page, or, I mean, I don't know how long, what's the cutoff for the pages, but I mean, it could be a full page. So the fact that somebody has to go through every single one of those lines, has to approve every single one of those lines, has to write out something about every single one of those lines. Like, this person thinks ABC, XYZ, whatever. They have to find out like what's going on there. And they have to write a response. You know, it can't be yes or no. It has to be like a thorough response, I'm assuming. So 18,000 pages, they read them all. It takes weeks to read them all, takes months to read them all. And then from there, they have to write it out, have to do all the other paperwork, submit it to somebody who's probably in charge of it as well. So somebody, whoever's in charge of that part of the process, then they have to approve it and then send it on up, because it's the government. You have to have a bunch of red tape, right? Like, just, that's just how it works. It's just how the system works. And it's unfortunate, but that's why checks and balances are there. And also, I believe the FAA is doing this on purpose, as in they're doing this to make sure that they do it right. You know, they do it right the first time, because if they don't do it right the first time, SpaceX is going to sue them into oblivion. So if they can't launch from Starbase, SpaceX might have a legal foot to stand on and may just go wild, like set their lawyers berserker mode and go after the FAA and the government. So if that's the case, this will be hooked up in court for a long, long time. So the fact that SpaceX is working really diligently on this as well with the FAA, that's important. But also the FAA themselves and the other institutions, you know, the Section 106 review, still working on it. That's the Section 106. Like, that's the only thing left. And then there's the environmental assessment, and that's it. We're pretty close. We have three done out of five, and it's really, really close to being done. So there's a possibility that the FAA and Section 106 review could be done in the next couple weeks. You know, they could be done in the next couple weeks. They could release this early. They have an end date of 5:30, but it could be less than that. They could also push it out a little bit further. They could, if they need another 15 days to go through all the other response, the other responses, there's a possibility that they keep going on with this. So yeah, it's a lot, but I'm sure, like Deb said, there's probably some people that are like, go SpaceX. And then with that one, you're like, that's a yes. Check that off. Or there's somebody probably that's like, you know, writing an essay, like Deb says, about, you know, a couple pages about how the environmental impacts of Starship and SpaceX are destroying the environment. And, you know, they don't want, you know, giant rockets down there. And also there's probably those in between too, the people that don't really know how to communicate how they feel about this. And the people that aren't really good at showing the facts of things. So then you have to take that into consideration. Like, is that a yes or is that a no? And then you might have to bring in other people, and it could be a whole process for that one. So yeah, there's all the in-betweens. I wish people were robots for these things, or if I wish it were like, okay, we're going to leave this up to comment, but the comments are going to be yes or no. That's it. You know, like, those are the only things. Like, you can't argue. You can just say yes or no, we want this here. It would have been done so much earlier, but unfortunately, you know, well, I guess, and fortunately too, the system takes a while to get through. So, an average 15 minutes, I think, is fair. NC Davis, I agree, reading in 15 minutes, like, that's not too bad. So like, you have a book, right? You have a couple pages in a book, get through them pretty quick. But then you have to decipher people that aren't good writers, you know? So I always take the easiest path, right? So you take the easiest path, which is, okay, you know, 15 minutes per page. That sounds pretty good. That sounds pretty fair. And see, I agree with you, but then you have to think there's gotta be those ones that are just going to take you an hour to figure out, you know, but then there's other ones that take you a second or two. You're like, go SpaceX. Okay. Yes. And then there's the person that writes a novel, you know, and you're like, oh, come on, man. I don't know what any of this stuff means. You know, like, they write something, they're going through everything, and they're like, oh man, I have no idea. I have no idea what this person's talking about. I don't know. And then you got to call somebody else over and be like, hey, do you know what they're talking about? Because I don't know what they're talking about. So those are the things that we have to take into consideration with the FAA's PEA of Starbase. It's a tough one. It's a really long process. It happens for every rocket facility too. Like, Starbase isn't unique with this. You know, every other rocket company that's building any sort of spaceport, whether it's, you know, Blue Origin or it's, Virgin Galactic, anybody that's building a spaceport, you have to go through government regulations and you have to go through the environmental assessment. Sometimes it takes a couple days, you know, like, sometimes it's just like, well, there's really nothing there, you know, couple gophers maybe underneath, but whatever, they'll just move. Like, once they hear the rumble of the trucks, they'll move. But also, you know, NASA is in a swamp. It's in a environmental swamp. So, you know, that place has been cleared. So I'm assuming they're going to clear Starbase. It's just that this has never been done before. This gigantic rocket has never flown before. The technology is not proven. This is a research and development project. This isn't a tried, true, trusted NASA space shuttle. You know, it's not like that. It's not a rocket that's flown 100 times. It's not a Falcon 9 or a Falcon Heavy even. This is a rocket that's never flown. the booster's never really been static fired yet. It's been tested with cryo. It's been pressure tested, but it's never static fired, a full static fire test, never. So the fact that they're waiting on the environmental assessment is fine. Like, that's fine. They still have a lot of work to do, like a ton of work to do. The booster's not even ready. The ship isn't even ready. It's still in pieces. So, you know, SpaceX still needs to build those things. And unfortunately, you know, whether it's Booster 4, which I loved the 420 idea. I think that was awesome. I thought it would be funny because I'm 12. But the fact that some people were like, hey, Booster 4, Ship 20, we're ready to go. Really? How do you know? Are you an engineer at SpaceX? And if you are, please show me credentials, because I think that would be amazing. I think it would have been amazing if Booster 4 and Ship 20 were able to fly. But there's a possibility. Elon said he wanted them to fly, but there's a possibility that they just looked at him and were like, let's just wait for Raptor 2. Because Raptor 1 seems kind of sketchy. You know, Raptor 1, it's okay. But, you know, if we do launch Raptor 1 and something happens to it, we could just wipe out all of Starbase. Even though Elon has said, okay, it's not the explosions of this isn't going to be like a bomb. It's going to be like a fireball more than anything. So the fact that something could happen to stage zero, all over the place. There's wires, there's pipes, there's all like electronics all over the place down there, like all over stage zero. And the fact that you got to think about that stuff too. Could that possibly have happened to SpaceX during this launch? You know, like if they launched 420, could it have destroyed most of Starbase, you know, or some of Starbase? You know, it could just set them back months, you know, if they launched 420, if Raptor 1 wasn't ready. So there's a possibility that that could have happened. Holy cow. J.R. Moore, thank you so much. I approve the launch. Go ahead and light it up. There you go. You get your launch, buddy. There you go, J.R. Get a bunch of Starship launches. So if you think about it, it makes sense, though. It makes sense. If Booster 4, Ship 20 weren't ready to go, this is okay. Like this FEA kind of slowed everything down. The Booster 7 and Ship 24, if those two are going to actually fly, because the pipe in Booster 7 looks like it was crushed, and are they going to fix it? I'm going to try to go down a little bit later today and see what they're going to do on it. I have an appointment in a little bit, so I actually got to take off in like 5 or 10 minutes, but I would love to go down there today and see what Booster 7's up to. So that would be really cool. JR, again, thank you for that. It's really helpful. Getting gas money to go to launches and getting gas money to get to Starbase, super cool. Thank you so much. Really does help with all of that stuff. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you. There we go. JR, thank you. So let's see, where we go. I got to scroll up a little bit. I don't want to miss anything. Passing Wind, what's up? Dirty Dancing reference. Exactly. Yeah. When I put baby in the corner. Yeah. Passing Wind also said, it's funny because Cape Canaveral is in the middle of what any other time we would call a nature preserve. Yeah. And at that time it was too, they had to go through environmental checks down there too, before they started building that. Of course they said, okay, let's do this because it's a government sort of, you know, it's a more of a Department of Defense thing, you know, who gets to the moon faster. Russia's launching, you know, people into space, you know, satellites, you know, all that stuff in the beginning, you know, the space race kind of thing. So, but they were like, let's get this done fast. And they pushed it through. Now, do we have that sort of threat now? Not as much, you know, not as much. There's still things going on, but not as much as it was. People were scared. They got the funding. They pushed it through. It took a while, though. It didn't take, you know, there were probably postponements. But the thing is, back then, we didn't know about it. Nobody really knew about it unless you're really paying attention to it. Because the speed of information is so much more acute now than it was back then. So I don't know what the actual numbers are for, and the time frame was for the initial, basically groundbreaking of NASA compared to what the, like when their environmental assessment started, but they had to have had one. And if not, they were just like, eh, whatever, you know, hey, let's do it. Let's see. How are we doing here? Who else is here? Marina, what's up? Daniel, how you doing? There, if there are any questions about the FAA method of work, Jeff, who could throw his toys at the pram again? Yeah, exactly. My humble opinion, Jeff Francis says, I believe that it's being put off due to NASA can't get their ship ready. I don't know. I wish I had information. So that's the other thing too. I wish that when you said things like that, not calling you out in particular, but I'm just saying, like, if somebody says that, they say, well, if the FAA is postponing Starship, it's because of this. And I want to be logical about this, and I want to be pragmatic about it as well. Is there a chance that the SLS and, you know, there's some sort of, you know, people higher up saying, hey, just give us a week or two. We got to get back out there before SpaceX does. I mean, there's jerks everywhere, right? There's every single place you're going to work, there's going to be one person that's kind of a jerk. So that person may have been like, hey, guess what, man? We got this SLS project going on. Could you slow them down a little bit? And then corruption, collusion. You know, if anybody ever finds out about it, that person's going to prison forever. You know, like those things, sue the FAA, sue the government, you know, SpaceX would go nuts. And I'm sure they would make a lot of money from that. Go sue the government and get billions of dollars for it. But if you think about it like this, NASA has contracted SpaceX to use Starship to get to the moon for the HLS program. So why would NASA, in that sense, try to hinder SpaceX from building the rockets it's going to send people to the moon? You know, going to take people down to the moon. I don't think they would. I don't think that would be a good enough reason, because our rocket is better than your rocket, or like get this done faster or whatever. I don't think that's a good enough reason for them to do it. A good enough reason would be, you know, are you going to make millions of dollars from this? You know, something like that. It's usually about money or power, right? Any sort of corruption is usually about money or power. So, the fact that if somebody would say that and say, hey, slow these guys down because our rocket is a competitor. Well, SLS isn't a competitor though. SLS is, they're working in tandem with SpaceX. They're working together. So it's not really a competitor. And I don't think there's any beating of the chest between Starship and Artemis program. I think everyone works together pretty well. SpaceX and NASA have been working together well for the last 10 years. So I don't think it would ever change the relationship. And if it did, somebody would know about it. That's not us. And somebody would be lawyering up right now and some stuff would happen. So like some really, intense legal action would happen, and we'd be privy to it because the news cycle, like I was saying before, is really fast. So, you have to think about it in a really logical sense. Like would this benefit anybody if SpaceX were to slow down? Probably other rocket manufacturers, you know, but they're not really on the same level, right? So something like Blue Origin, they're building their giant rocket. SLS isn't a competitor. Blue Origin's a competitor, but Blue Origin and SpaceX kind of have the same goal at the end, you know, millions of people working and living in space. Like those are the things that SpaceX and Blue Origin are working on. Are they competitive? Probably, you know, but they're also, you know, they're engineers and they're space geeks like everybody else. It's like, I go down to Starbase and I film, but I don't think it's competitive. Other people have other channels. They're better than mine, you know? So I'm not competitive with them. I just go down there and hang out, you know, I go down there and hang out and I'm like, whatever. Yeah, cool. I'm excited to see their footage. You know what I'm saying? So I think other engineers, from what I've seen, I follow a bunch of engineers on Twitter and I follow a bunch of engineers on Reddit and stuff. From what I've seen is that NASA engineers are super excited about Starship, and SpaceX engineers are also excited about what NASA is doing with SLS. So, would people have chosen to do one or the other? Yeah, of course. Like, of course. Do I want to work for SpaceX? It seems grueling and horrible, you know, at some points. Like, dude, it's going to be 100 degrees today. Literally, it's going to be maybe not 100, but it's going to be, let's find out. I'm going to look at my phone. It's 87 degrees right now in Brownsville. High of 90. There's a wind advisory today. Let's see what the wind advisory says. So these are the people that are working outside at SpaceX today. This is for them. 25 to 30 miles an hour with occasional gusts of 40 miles an hour at Starbase. It's 90 degrees outside, plus the humidity. So it's about 100 degrees today. So people out there working at SpaceX, like, I don't know, if you want to work on a rocket, I'd probably want to be in an air-conditioned rocket building like the VAB, you know, the vehicle assembly building would be a way better place to work than on a Starship. Like, you're not out in the crazy Texas heat. So some people are probably like, hey, it's cool that you're working on a Starship, but you know what? I got air conditioning. So there's probably, you know, there's back and forth, right? Yeah, it's a tough task for anybody to pick up and do the Starship thing. So I don't think they're competing. I don't think SpaceX and NASA are really competing. I think they're working together, and I think they're working well together. I can take a look at the poll too. Did you find Crew 4 team in the thumbnail? 60% said yes. Okay, cool. So the Crew 4 team, I put them in every thumbnail, and I always kind of show them off at some point. I got to find them real quick. I got to find the thumbnail so I can show you guys, because it's silly. Like, every time I do it, it just makes me laugh a little bit. So I keep them on there until they come home. And today's thumbnail, I want to show you guys this before I take off, because we've been doing this for about an hour now. So I have to go and do an appointment thing. There's a new TFR for Starship too, for SpaceX down here at Starbase. So let's see. I want to show you this TFR. There we go. There we go. TFR real quick, just so you guys know that it's happening, but it's really no big deal. They're just renewing their TFR up to 10,000 feet down here at Starbase. And here we go. This is the TFR itself, April 28th, 2022. So it's basically from May 1st to May 31st, 2022. Does not mean they're launching. They're not launching at this time, but they do have a keep out zone around the rocket and around Starbase. And airspace definition on the Brownsville Vortex, blah, 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 all this stuff. 2 nautical mile radius around Starbase. Effective day, May 1st at 1001 UTC up until May 31st. So no pilots may operate an aircraft in the areas covered by the NOTAM, except as described. So supporting space ops, et cetera. So basically drones, things like that. But if you look at it, you know, you have little Starship there. I like how it looks like a Starship kind of too. But right there, that's right on the coast there. And basically, don't fly your plane in there. Don't fly your things in there. It's up to 10,000 feet. So I just want to show you guys that, because that's pretty cool that they renewed that. Every month they do, or every time this thing, they need to renew it every time it, what's that word? Why can't I think of it? Anyway, let's look at this. let's look at the thumbnail. Okay. So Crew 4, I put the crew that just went up to the space station on the thumbnail every time they go up, in honor of them, and also to make myself laugh every time. So I want to show you guys this before we go. As you can see, Starship, beautiful, beautiful, absolutely gorgeous font. Starship. And then we have a picture I took of fully stacked Starship Booster 4 Ship 20. And then if you go over here, you can see a little sign right down here. There's a sign at Boca Chica down here on the bottom right. You can kind of see it. And that's if you drive down Highway 4 and on the right side after you pass the launch site, there's the dunes, and then there's then there's the Gulf, right? Then there's a beach. So you can walk up on the dunes a little bit. There's a little bench and a little sign that says, welcome to Starbase. Live here tomorrow, today, or something like that. And then we have over here, on top of the GSE tanks, we have Crew 4 just hanging out. So, yeah, I think it's a funny thing that I like to do. So, so if you found it, congratulations. You don't get anything. There's no prize or anything. But I thought it was kind of funny. I like to do it. And I like to show everybody where they are at the end of the show. So, thanks everybody for checking that out and trying to find. Like, I want that to be sort of like an Easter egg for everybody, you know? So it's just fun. So thanks everybody for watching. I really do appreciate you. Means a lot to me. Really means a lot to me. I just want to have this discussion because I know there's a lot of misconceptions out there and misinformation out there about like why this is happening and how this is happening and things around that. So I wanted to sort of just open it up a little bit for you guys. And there's going to be more Blue Man Group on top of the tanks. Yeah, there's gonna be more information about the FAA and the environmental assessment as the time goes on. So it's gonna be happening throughout the next month or so. And when we get any more information for you, I'll make sure to post it here and on Twitter. So make sure to subscribe to the show, of course. Become a member if you can. Super chat, really helpful. JR Moore, thank you for the super chat today. I don't know if I'm going to catch everybody because I don't know if it'll let me scroll up. Jeff Francis, Andre, thank you so much. Welcome back, Andre. Debs as well. Debs put on her space pants today. If you want your own space pants like this, you can become a member of the show. Just hit the icon at the bottom of the chat and you can become a member of the show or hit the member button. I think that's like the join button or whatever. I think you can do that too. So thank you so much for the gas money, everybody, for launches and Starbase. I want to go to a rocket launch in Florida. So that's my plan. I'm hoping to get to a rocket launch in Florida in June, but we'll see if that works. That would be really cool. Like a Falcon 9, that would be really cool. So either it's going to be Starlink or it's going to be another SpaceX launch, but there's two in the beginning of June that I'm looking at. So I'm hoping to, do a fundraiser for those. And then take the trip from here to Florida. And I have some other stuff in the future as well that I have to tell you guys about, but that will be another episode. So thanks, everybody. I really appreciate everybody. And thank you so much for becoming part of this community. You're amazing. Thanks for the 78 likes. Appreciate you. You can't become a member because your mom won't allow it. That's okay. You can just hit the like button. It's free. It's easy. You know, leave a comment, leave a something like that. That helps just as much. So all those things, Charlie, why are we one step closer? One quick thing, the Endangered Species Act consultation is complete. So that part right here, just because you have that, that question right here, this thing has been completed. So that was, it happened a couple days ago. So just want to let you know about it. And then that's the Endangered Species Act consultation, DOIFWS. So that's done. One step closer, one more check mark complete. So thank you, everybody, for tuning in today. And here's our ending screen. I'm going to make a cooler ending screen, like the best ending screen you've ever seen. But right now, we're going to go to this. Thank you to these people who have been part of the show in the past, present, and future, and have helped out tremendously by being, spam those rockets, can you? In chat, that would be awesome. I want to see as many rockets as I can. That'd be amazing. Just spam the living heck out of them. What if I can spam them too? Oh yeah, I can spam them. I'll approve all spam as well. So I can go through so you can get your chats up there. Dave Stetzel, David Perucci. Perucci, David Littlejohn, William Contino, Virginia, Gary, Debs, Mick, Tonic Fox Gaming, everybody who super chatted today, thank you so much. Again, JR Moore, Jeff Francis, Andre, Debs, thank you so much. Debs with the spam coming in hot. Ben Reek, thank you. Coming in hot. Oh yeah. Passing Wind, yes. Debs is great. Passing Wind says, nice. Nice. We should start a spam. We should definitely start like a emote spam thing, like rocket spam or something. Every time we go live, I think that'd be fun. I don't know if you guys would get blocked though. SpaceX, YouTube is kind of iffy about spamming, so we'll see. So thanks, guys. Appreciate you. Take care, and I'll see you next time, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at noon CST. And other content as well. Take care.
Liberty sees me, it stands by me, and celebrates me for who I am.
When I come into the office, I feel that I belong here.
I don't have to be corporate America Gabby. I can just bring Gabby to work.
Reach your potential and find a job you love at Liberty Mutual. We offer development training, rich benefits, and a culture that lets you bring your whole self to work so you can pursue your tomorrow today. Ready to consider a career at Liberty Mutual? Find out how at libertymutualcareers.com.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.